This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
When most people think of prophecy, they think of apocalyptic events, predictions of end-time destruction on a global scale of biblical proportions. We hear of wars and rumors of wars, famines and pestilence, people dying by the tens of thousands all around the world. And the preachers? Well, they come and go with their prognostications, claiming that Jesus Christ's return to earth is just around the corner, portraying we are just a few minutes to midnight on the doomsday clock. But is that the only thing your Bible teaches concerning the definition of what prophecy really is? Or is there an additional meaning to what prophecy includes? Yes. Upon understanding what the comprehensive meaning of prophecy involves, we can then begin to appreciate more deeply the value of just what prophecy brings to our understanding. Because without prophecy, the risks are undeniable that inspiration, motivation, and being compelled to aspire to a greater degree of conversion may just be missed. Yes, the Greek words translated to the English word prophecy has much more to offer than simple predictions and prognostications. So stay with us as we explore all the Greek words that are translated to the English word prophecy and see the expanded scope of just what we're missing when confining prophecy to simply future predictions.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello, and again, welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God. Good to be with all of you once again. You know, if ever there was a subject that is abused on a regular basis, it's the topic of prophecy. I know many of you have probably heard a minister or two give their description of a particular scenario that they believe is an end-time condition, even going, perhaps, out as far as setting a date when they thought or think Jesus Christ is going to return, only to be left holding the bag because the date comes and goes, and guess what? Jesus never did return. Dangerous, dangerous thing to do, especially in light of the Bible saying that no man knows the day in which Jesus would return, only the Father. But they, out of their imaginations, develop these storylines. They go to sources such as newspapers or the internet, perhaps television even, or the radio. They listen to commentators and particular pundits of sort, and they'll mix some of this condition up and exploit these headlines. They kind of use headline theology as their methodology to develop some of the narratives that basically are designed to scare the bejeebers out of you and I. Oh yeah, that's right. They will take stories like mass shootings in some of our cities, or perhaps the violence, city violence around the world in cities like Chicago, or perhaps New York, or London, or even gang activity, or the selling of drugs on the streets, or in the back alleys, the dark back alleys of certain cities where human trafficking is conducted. And just in general, my friends, the lawlessness and corruption we're surrounded by, they will take, spin it in such a way to illustrate the fact that we are in the end times and the alarm is about to signal. We are like 2 seconds before midnight, so to speak, you know. And they'll take other things such as and compound it with news of an earthquake or a famine or a pestilence or a hurricane and a war perhaps even. And these things do affect mankind. They do create tragedy and suffering and pain. But the sad part is they will then go ahead and grab Revelation, attempt to try to connect a dot with some description they find there to essentially create some kind of just macabre and very horrific description of an end-time scenario that only you and I can imagine. And my question in all this is, for what? Why do they do it? For notoriety? For money? To enhance their reputation? Or perhaps to grow their following? Because then they maybe can leverage some kind of other special thing that they might come up with, such as a place of safety, whereby that unless you're associated with them, only then can you know the location of that place of safety, whereby you can avoid the destruction to come, the tragedy and tribulations, pain and suffering to come that is going to precede the return of Jesus Christ. Is that what it's all about? Well, when I think of these things, I don't know about you, but when I think about these things, a question comes to my mind. And that question is, just what is the value of prophecy? What part does it play in the preaching of the gospel? Well, my friends, I would like to address those questions on today's program with the time I have remaining. But before I do, let me go ahead and interrupt myself to present to you two offers that I have today. One is a piece of literature titled Jesus Christ is Fulfilled Prophecy, and the second one is a one-hour presentation titled The Prophetic Significance of Modern Israel. Both are free. Let me emphasize that. Both are free, and you can obtain them by calling either the 888-578-8791 number, or you can download it very quickly, as a matter of fact, probably before the program is over, off our website at cgi.org. Feel free to do that, because that certainly is beneficial not only to you, but to us as well, and you'll get the material much quicker. Also, let me go ahead and introduce to you the fact that we've got so many things on that website that I would like to just pause here for a moment and recommend you spend some time cruising our website, cgi.org. You'll find that we've got webcasting services on Tuesday at noon. We've got a program called Prove All Things Eastern Standard Time at noon, where you can watch live in real time. We've got Bible studies on Tuesday, Bible study Wednesday night, Bible study Thursday night. We've got church services on Saturday, because we're a Sabbath-keeping Christian organization, and many of those are live in real time, where you can even interact with people and tell them hi and so forth, and introduce yourself and where you're from and so on. So do take some time to do that, because all of these services, all of these products are there for your enhancement in walking with Jesus Christ and developing more knowledge and grace with our God, our Father. And one last thing, I'd like to also remind you about our app. You can download it free. That's right, free of charge. You can download it right to your mobile devices, be it your phone or iPad, and be able to have a very convenient access to all the products that I just referenced on our website, whereby if you're traveling or waiting in a doctor's office, airport, bus station, whatever it may be, with your ear plugs, you can listen to something that will keep your mind filled with something that is beneficial and enhancing with your relationship with God. So do take time to download that free app at any of the app stores you're familiar with. Again, let me remind you, those two offers, Jesus Christ is Fulfilled Prophecy and The Prophetic Significance of Modern Israel. Both are free and both are downloadable if you'd like to do so at our website at cgi.org. So we've been talking about prophecy. And prophecy is misunderstood, greatly misunderstood, by a lot of people, simply because the word prophecy in the English does not present a true dynamic scope and breadth meaning of what the word means. Oh, yes, don't get me wrong. It does mean foretelling. It does mean to prognosticate. It does talk about future events that are going to come down on us as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ. But sadly, my friends, so many people think that that's all the word means. That when you talk about prophecy, you're talking about prognostications. You're talking about foretelling future events. You're talking about gloom and doom. You're talking about things that are preceding the return of Jesus Christ in the way of destruction and pain and suffering and all the things that go along with the tragedies that are associated with that. But you know what? Though it does mean that, there is so much more to this word prophecy. So it brings me to a question, and I want to put it to you direct. I just want to put it to you direct. And the question is, does prophecy always mean prediction? Is it always telling the future or prognosticating the future of some horrific events that precede the return of Jesus Christ? And guess what? I want to tell you something. The answer to that is no. It does not. As a matter of fact, there is a dimension to this word prophecy that many people miss. They really do miss. And sadly, the richness and the quality of the word itself is completely missed by most people because they don't realize the English word prophecy in your New Testament is actually derived from four different Greek words. That's right. And context is king in this situation because in many cases, we don't see the change of the word or the usage of a particular word. We just see the English translation, prophecy. That's right. Let me put them up on the screen there. My Greek is not the best, but I'll do my best here in attempting to try to pronounce these words. Prophetyo, that's the first one. Prophetes is the second. Prophetea is the third. And prophetikos is the fourth. Each one of these words mean something. For instance, the first one. It means divine speaking under inspiration. Exercise the office of a prophet. And look at this, to foretell events. The second word, inspired speaker, a poet, a prophet, a foreteller. That's right. The third word, prediction, prophecy, prophesying. Or the fourth word, a foreteller of prophecy and of prophets. That's right. These four words are used throughout your New Testament and do indeed mean certain things when they are used, but yet it's always translated prophecy. I want to show you something over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and park here a little bit to show you just a little bit of the distinctions on how these words are used. That first word, prophet yo-o, in verse 1 of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians is interesting. Notice this. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. And in this case, this word means divine speaking under inspiration. That's right. Notice over here in verse 3. Again, prophet yo-o is used. Prophet yo-o again is used. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So here again, we see the word is being used to describe divine speaking under inspiration. It doesn't necessarily mean exercising the office of a prophet, and it doesn't necessarily mean to foretell events. The context shows us that we are to edify. That means to be divinely speaking under inspiration so that edification can be the result. Notice this in verse 4 and 5. Again, prophet yeo. Again, prophet yo-o, that is. Same word is being used, and again, the same context, inspired speaking, is what is meant. He that speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Again, the language or the indication here being that the language is understood. Verse 5, I would that you all speak in tongues, and Paul's talking about speaking in different languages, but rather that you prophesy. In other words, that you are able to understand what's being said under inspired speaking. For greater is he that is inspired in his speaking than he that can speak with a different language, unless, of course, the language is interpreted, that the church may receive edifying. And the conflict here is, my friends, Paul is attempting to try to persuade the brethren in the Corinthian church that to just use this gift of speaking in different languages, if you're not understood, let's say, you know, you're in a Spanish-speaking congregation, but all you can do is speak English, well, that doesn't really work. And what Paul is saying is control that. Unless, of course, there's an interpreter. If there's an interpreter that can interpret the English for those that understand the Spanish, well, then so be it. Let the English speaker speak. But what Paul is saying is the distinction here that he's trying to make. It's far more important that rather than speaking in an unknown language where nobody can understand what you're saying, it's far more important that you speak in an inspired fashion. And that's what he's trying to say here in terms of context. And now he goes on and he says, "Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with a language, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying?" And this word here in verse 6 means prophetia. Means prediction. It means prophecy, prophetia, because he's putting it in with these other four: revelation, knowledge, prophesy, or doctrine. So he's asking this question, he's bringing it before the brethren here, and he's laying it out and saying these things to help them understand that there are benefits over just speaking in a language that's not understandable. Let me fast forward you over to verse 24. Prophet yo'o again is used. Prophet yo'o again, and once more we are introduced to, "But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believes not, or unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all." Again, if you read previous to that, you'll understand that if indeed someone who's unlearned comes into your audience and hears all of you talking in a language he doesn't understand, he'll think you're mad. And what Paul is saying here to the Corinthians, again, prof at yo'o, if you speak inspired speaking and it is edifying, then he will be edified by it and benefited. That's the key here. And so Paul is encouraging these Corinthians to do just that, to speak in prof at yo'o, in an inspiring fashion. Drop down to verse 32 here real quick. "And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets." And this word here, prophetes, means basically a prophet. In other words, a prophet, the spirit of the prophets. In other words, the spirit of the inspired speakers ought to be subject to them. So there's no question about this. Jumping up and down and rattling off into some kind of a unspeakable noise sounding language is not right. That's not the way to do things. And Paul is trying to educate the congregation into realizing that it's far more beneficial for everybody, including the prof at yo'os, those that are speaking inspiredly, that they themselves should subject themselves. And consequently, if indeed they want to speak in a different language and there's no interpreter, to hold back and not to be doing those kinds of things for egocentricity and or just for your own vanity. So here again, this word prophecy, we don't get this richness. We don't get this distinction that is made here based on the context that's being used. Now let me draw your attention over here to 2 Peter. 2 Peter is another one where the word, again, prophecy, is used and translated here in 2 Peter chapter 1. And we have here where Peter states basically that we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Now, this is verse 19. And Peter is basically talking about the fact of his situation, being an apostle and so on. And of course, he wants people to understand what he's talking about. And finally, he says here in verse 18, "This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." And verse 19, because of that, basically he's saying, we also have a more sure word of, and in this case, verse 19 is prophetekos, and it means foreteller or of prophecy, a prophet. In other words, we have a surer way of being able to foretell. And what Peter is saying here, whereunto you do well, that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing, now verse 20, this first, that no prophecy, and this word is prophetia, not prophetekos, it's prophetia. Prophetia means prediction, prophecy, or prophesying. So he's saying here, knowing this first, that no prediction, no prophecy, is what Peter is saying, is up for private interpretation. And so what I'm saying here, brethren and friends, is that like we've heard certain ministers say from time to time about certain things that they've extrapolated from headlines, we've got to be careful on that. We've got to make sure that Scripture backs up many of what they are saying, many things that they are saying. Otherwise, we run the risk of following a false prophet. And it could be a false inspired speaker, because he may be inspired in his speaking, but the bottom line is he's not necessarily inspired by God. And that's what Peter is trying to say here in this particular distinction. Now, verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And again, prophetia is being used here to describe what Peter is saying in respect to the context. And again, prophetia meaning prophecy. The prophecy came not, the predictions came not by men, but by holy men of God moved by the Holy Spirit. And therein lies what Peter is trying to say here in this particular case. So what I'm saying, as I hope many of us can begin to see, is that context is king in so many regards. And the word, English word, prophecy, doesn't really come into its own without understanding some of the richness of the Greek that basically supports the translation. So all I'm saying, my friends, is that prophecy, the word, doesn't necessarily always mean foretelling. It doesn't always mean prediction. It doesn't always mean prognostication. It means inspired speaking, too. It means to be moved in spirit and mind. It means to be moved in all of these areas whereby your life might be able to be changed by virtue of the words that are being used by the one who's speaking under inspiration of God's Holy Spirit. That's key. That is really a key in understanding the deeper meanings, the breadth, the scope, and the richness of what the word prophecy really means. And in so many regards, my friends, so many regards, we got to get off this idea that prophecy can only mean this dominant understanding that so many of us think it means, because that can skew. That really can skew and misappropriate your understanding about what prophecy is really all about. And hopefully, your minister, your pastor, is an inspired speaker, and he is speaking prophetically in that regard, and is able to hopefully prophetia you, or in this respect, prophetase you, so that your life is moved in being able to change the things that you need changing in your life as you follow Jesus Christ in your way. It's so important, my friends, that we understand that prophecy has great value. It has the value in being able, hopefully, if it's done right, to change your heart, to change your mind, to melt you down, bring you to repentance and acceptance of Jesus Christ. Prophecy, inspired speaking, can move mountains, develop faith, and cause you to be able to have an enhanced life, pleasing God, finding His favor in so many ways, ingratiating yourself back into His loving hands and His ability to work with you. So many of us are not on the path that we need to be. We've got hardened hearts and hardened minds. And it's important that we allow inspired speaking to move us and to change our minds so that we are malleable and we are changeable and we are able to find peace and tranquility in the ways of God. And that can come through inspired speaking. Yes, that can come through prophecy. That's what I'm talking about. Now, you wouldn't get it if you're thinking all I'm talking about is foretelling, but I'm not. I'm talking about inspired speaking that would inspire your thinking and that would inspire your behavior and motivate you to be a better person. Well, time's run out on me. Let me get back to just again reminding all of you of the offer that we have here on today's program. It's a piece of literature that's easily read in one sitting, titled Jesus Christ is Fulfilled Prophecy, and a one-hour CD presented before a live audience titled The Prophetic Significance of Modern Israel. Both are free. Both can be downloaded off of our website at cgi.org. If you prefer to get a hard copy, you can dial 888-578-8791. Give us a couple of weeks to get the products out to you, and we'll send the booklet and a CD out so that you can play it on your own devices there at home. But don't forget that we've got these on our website, and they're easily downloadable, and you can get them very, very quickly. As a matter of fact, you can get them immediately. My friends, this is Bill Watson, reminding you always, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.